After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, 'To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not cry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But the wisdom is proved right by all her children.'"
Amen. Just in prayers of confession. Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Brothers and sisters, we are blessed today if we're not offended by Jesus. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. We were lost, but now we're found. And that great shepherd is leading us safely to our heavenly destination in the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus didn't just leave it there, gave them that information. His teaching carried on after John's two messengers left. And Jesus knows how much people keep looking for something. If we're honest, perhaps we're always searching or seeking for a bit more, for a bit more. Something to make a bit more difference in our lives. However settled in our faith we are, let's just consider what Jesus has to teach us here in this reading. So, questions to the crowd. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Well, they hadn't gone sightseeing. They'd gone to see John the Baptist to see if he had any answers that would be useful for them. And some commentators think, well, the reed swayed by the wind is maybe a slight picture of John the Baptist wavering a bit in his faith. We don't know. Jesus said it. We can think about it. So, no, that wasn't the answer. Next question. So, Jesus says, did you go to see a man dressed in fine clothes? Did you go out into the wilderness to see some impressive, gaudy figure in fine, expensive clothes? It's actually a bit ruder in the original. It's something like what we call a big softy, somebody slightly effeminate, you know, maybe even with man makeup or clothes that are just over the top. And we don't know, but the crowd might have thought Jesus was referring to Herod, the decadent Roman who'd taken on his brother's wife and lived a life devoted, we presume, to pleasure and feasting and soft things. No, they hadn't gone to see Herod in the desert. They'd gone to see John the Baptist. John the Baptist never cut his hair. Matthew says his clothes were made of camel's hair, leather belt round his waist. He lived on locusts and wild honey. He wasn't delicate or fancy at all, and neither was his message. So, Jesus' questions, that's two no's and the big yes. You went to see a prophet, a man with a direct line to God. You wanted to hear what information he had to say. Well, we know what that message is, I hope. It was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Mark summarizes what's on the Baptist. So we get the message. Here's what Mark just says in one. John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside, all the people of Jerusalem, went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Brilliant. And Jesus goes on to say more about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the greatest, Jesus goes on to say. A prophet, yes, I tell you, more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way ahead of you. That's Malachi 3:1. That was our opening verse today. And Jesus says, I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Well, why none greater? Well, John is the only prophet I can think of who has a prophecy about him. So John is the only one who has a prophecy about being a prophet to come. So, yeah, another reason we might think quite rightly that John the Baptist is the greatest. He's the last prophet before Jesus. He prophesied Jesus coming, and there was Jesus came to him and being baptized by John. How great was that? It's wonderful. God himself coming to fulfill the whole message of the Bible. The Saviour of the world coming to save sinners. And then, as the Word of God often does, it throws up something you don't quite get. Why does it say this next? Verse 28, Jesus says, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Well, we can't understand all the things of God. Bible experts do not agree or know for sure, but I'd like to share some good arising from thinking about this verse. So, first point is, it's a reminder of how important it is to be humble. Do you remember the disciples asked Jesus who would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We like to know lists of things and who's the greatest. And Jesus, it came up several times in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 18, when the disciples asked him who would be greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, I tell you the truth, unless you are changed and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Again, this desire to be the greatest. Do you remember James and John, the sons of Zebedee, asking if they could sit on the right hand and left hand of Jesus? And Jesus explained, it's not actually mine to give, it's already arranged, and follows it with a massive challenge to be humble. Listen, he said, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever must be first, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is the answer to all our questions. He is the example that we should follow. He is the clothing that we should put on. And the reading today has two great messengers, John the Baptist and Jesus. When I was researching this verse, 28, there was one person thought, is it possible when Jesus said, I tell you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John, yet the one who is younger in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, the word in the Greek is least, but it's also talked about, it uses the same word for James, the younger brother, James the least. And Jesus was 6 months younger than John. And Jesus is saying, there's none greater than John, yet the one who is younger, meaning himself, is greater than he. So, did people get the message? Some did and some didn't, just like nowadays. Verse 30 says, bluntly, the Pharisees and the experts in the law did not want God's purpose for themselves. So what's God's purpose? God's purpose is God's will, it's God's counsel, it's God's word, which says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The call to repentance is the message of the whole Bible. God wants us back with him. And whatever form that message is delivered in, that is a true message from God. There's different ways of delivering the message. There's a tough warning way of John the Baptist. I'll just quote from Luke 3, earlier in Luke there. Luke 3 said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree which brings forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, what shall we do then? As well they might have done. That is a gospel message going out in one form. And then there's the other way. Another way of presenting the message of the Bible, the gentle invitation from Lord Jesus, Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now we know that Jesus is himself the gospel message. He is the Word of God made flesh. And perhaps we missed, it was there all the time in Malachi's opening verse there. Malachi 3:1 says, I'll read it again, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the message of the covenant. That's Jesus, whom you delight in. He shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. The message of the covenant has come. And again, if Jesus was keen for people to get the message, he puts it yet another way and tells that short story about children inviting their playmates to come and join in with the music they're playing. But people, Jesus' point is, people don't join in whichever way the message goes out. Whether it's a happy song, come and be saved, come and join the kingdom of heaven, come and be a citizen, or a warning, don't end up dead and in torment and mourning forevermore. See, people love to reject the gospel. They like to reject the gospel because they don't approve of the person speaking it even. John the Baptist, he was too scruffy and too shouty a person. We don't want to listen to him. And as for Jesus, he ate, drank, and mixed with sinners, prostitutes, and Roman collaborators. We don't want to listen to anything he has to say either. We want to dance to our own tune of self-will. But we've had enough of self-will. We are the little children of God. What a time of rejoicing that will be for us when Jesus returns, when the wisdom of God is shown to be righteous and true, when Jesus comes to reveal all things, judge all things, and reign in glory on the earth. It will come to pass. And let us remember us. We are part of that grand plan. God's chosen us, the weak things of the world, to confound the things that are mighty. I'm going to close with Paul's astonishing word at the end of 1 Corinthians 1. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen.